Hello, and welcome in to another episode of Behind the Edge with Nick and Cody. We're coming at you with our week 15 best bets here. Only 4 more weeks of the NFL regular season to go before the playoffs start, Cody. We have to finish strong as a podcast here. How are you feeling on this Saturday morning, and how are you feeling about your picks in general?
Feeling pretty good. Not going to lie, this isn't my favorite kind of slate this week. Not a lot of home underdogs that I like, not a lot of, you know, divisional underdogs in general. So those are two spots I typically like to play and not getting a lot of it. But, we'll see. I mean, I feel like I picked a couple of plays that are a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I'm pretty confident about them. I feel like this is going to be a good week, and I'm excited. How are you feeling?
Okay, I was in kind of your boat as well. There's a few weather-related things that kind of pushed me off of a couple bets, or at least made some bets not as enticing as they were when we talked about them on Wednesday. I was definitely more excited about this slate a couple days ago, but we were still able to get to 5 spots. I like a decent amount here, but Cody, sounds like you're pretty confident. Why don't you kick us off?
Sure, yeah. I'll start us off here. We're going... But I feel like it's probably pretty public on this one, but the public's been doing all right this year, so I'm going to tail them. Commanders -7.5 at the Saints. A little bit of learning from my mistakes from last week. I wanted to take the Bucs as a 6.5-point favorite, got nervous about them covering a larger spread, took the over, was kind of thinking about doing the same thing this week, but I do feel like this Commanders team could just completely outclass the Saints team that lost their quarterback, doesn't even know who their starting quarterback is at this point, and may just be completely giving up on the season. Really, the way that I grade this, the Saints really have no strong unit at this point, from head coach all the way down to special teams. The best grade you'd probably give one of their units is a C+ for special teams, whereas on the Commanders, you know, they have a really good offense. Dan Quinn has shown to be a solid head coach at the slightest, and I just feel like they're going to be able to outclass him this weekend. The Saints, on their defensive side, have given up 130 yards rushing per game, coupled with about 250 yards passing per game. I feel like Jaden Daniels, as well as the running attack, even without Austin Ekeler, should be able to get going for the Commanders this week, and I expect them to put up a win by double digits. So taking Commanders -7.5 as my first bet.
It's not a spot we usually like to play, like you said. For what it's worth, the Commanders in non-divisional spots against bad teams have taken care of business pretty well so far this year. Cleveland at home, 21-point win, 33-point win over Carolina, 23-point win over Tennessee a couple weeks ago as well. So when they've seen these bad teams, they have usually taken care of business by margin. This offense kind of tends to really be kind of like a rolling ball down a hill. Once they start scoring points, they score a ton, or they kind of have a sluggish afternoon. There's not really much in between for them. So I don't mind the play. I prefer teasing them down to 1.5. I do have a lot of confidence that they win this game coming off a bye. A little scared about Jaden Daniels maybe being a little rusty, but Washington probably the side I would back as well. My first best bet for the Sunday slate, we're going to stick with it, even though I alluded to it earlier, but the weather concern is definitely here for Cleveland +4.5 at home against KC. Unfortunately, even though the Browns would figure to benefit from bad weather in Cleveland, they kind of usually have, you know, good defensive, good running teams. That's not really the case with this year's Browns team, at least on the running side. Almost benefits the Chiefs to have a windy, cold game, in my opinion. But regardless, the Browns generate the best pass rush percentage in the league, at least as far as pressure rate is concerned. The Chiefs tackle's absolute mess, as we know. Wanye Morris probably getting the start again here. 16.7% pressure rate allowed last week, above 10% on the year. For some context, the good tackles in the league are around 5%. The best ones are even lower than that. And a league replacement level tackle is usually 8% or 9% pressure rate allowed. So above 10 is truly horrible. The Browns play a lot of man coverage. That actually benefits them in this situation. More recently as well, they played the highest rate in the league last week. Mahomes, 7.4 yards per attempt versus zone, 6.4 versus man. Not a huge drop off, but it's another tick in our column. The Browns defense in general, if you look at their season-long numbers, not great, but I feel like they have really gotten up for spots here. At Philly, versus Cincy, versus Baltimore, and then Pittsburgh twice. They played pretty well defensively in all these games against really elite teams. It's really just kind of some random spots on their schedule, like at New Orleans versus the Chargers. You know, some teams that wouldn't necessarily be powerhouses, non-divisional opponents that they've kind of really fallen apart. And these big spots, they have the defense has gotten up and played well. You can kind of tell with their effort, tackling's a lot better in these games, and that's kind of the first thing you tend to see go in games where effort is not there. But I think the matchups here for us, obviously the Chiefs have had a ton of struggles covering. You don't have to tell me, you don't have to have me tell you that. Seven straight that they have not won against the spread, even though they're 6-1 in that stretch. And in general, Patrick Mahomes, since 2020, 19-37-2 against the spread when the Chiefs are favored by more than a field goal. Really tough. Really struggle to cover these big spreads. Another one in our favor here, dogs in December against teams that have won 9 of 10 since this is the last 20 years, 67-42 against the spread. We're going to stick with it. I'm hoping that the wind does not wreck us here. I do need Jameis to be able to move the ball down the field a bit here. So I would probably play an under here as well, but wind is just so hard to determine. Even a day out, you really need to be looking at this game on Sunday morning. If you see a ton of wind, you can hit that under as well, but I will still stick with the Browns plus 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to put a little caveat in here because I'm going to check the weather report tomorrow morning. And if the wind is looking like it is right now, I'm going to actually put the under in my 5 picks. I did not check that weather report ahead of time. So my fifth, which I'll talk about a little bit, maybe a little bit later, just for timing purposes, Falcons minus 3.5 is kind of my fifth one on the border right now. So if the wind goes away, I'll plug that one in for Monday. And if it is a windy, rainy mess in Cleveland, then I'm going to take that under 43.5. So yep. I'll put it in the Facebook group. I'll put it on Twitter. Make sure you're following, make sure you're tuned in on that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would just wait and see on those two picks. Because, yeah, if the wind dies down, the precipitation is kind of low for around game time. So if the wind dies down, I don't necessarily love the under as much because with Jameis, you just never know. But if we get a windy day coupled with a little bit of rain, then that under seems pretty solid. But the line may also move as well. So my fifth pick, I guess, will be a little bit up in the air because I did really like that under, but want to see what the weather's going to be beforehand.
Yeah.
And then I'll just talk about the Falcons real quick. I know we're kind of jumping timelines here, but just so that way we keep it all in order for the podcast.
Yep.
This is my fifth. It was probably my least favorite of the five. I do feel like I'm walking right into this one here. I feel like the public opinion on this Falcons team has gotten too low for them to only be 3.5-point favorites at the Raiders. I don't know. Like, I feel like the Falcons, if they just put together a B-level game plan in this game, they're going to be able to cover this number, even if the Raiders play well. I believe Desmond Ridder is most likely going to get the start. I know Aiden O'Connell's considered questionable, but I don't think he's practiced all week at all. So I'd expect Desmond Ridder to play. Seems like the perfect get-right or potentially get-bench spot for Kirk. You know, if he comes out and gets the win and, you know, the cover for us betters, I think he secures his job for the remainder of the season. But if he finds a way to lose to this Raiders team, it may be Penix time sooner rather than later. So I feel like the Falcons have a lot to play for. They also get the Bucs on Sunday playing against the Chargers. So if the Bucs lose, they have a chance to get back in first place in the division. So I feel like the Falcons will just have a lot more to play for and a great get-right spot for them. So it'll be between Falcons minus 3.5 and KC Cleveland under 43.5. I will put that out probably around 10:30 tomorrow in the group and finalize that pick.
Yeah, you're probably getting a good number here on the Falcons. I think the reason it's come down to 3.5 is because Aiden O'Connell, surprisingly, ended up there was some buzz that he may actually play in this game. I believe that is a, you know, it's a sizable upgrade over Ridder for the passing game for the Raiders. If he's in, I'd be a little more scared of this bet, but I think once he is ruled out, all the news I'm seeing is that he's a long shot to play. Yep. It's a bone bruise in his knee. It's a lot of pain tolerance. So even if he's out there, he's not going to be 100%, obviously. But regardless, I think once Ridder is ruled the starter, you'll probably get a couple, maybe even 1.5 here of value on your line. So if you like the Falcons with Cody, I'd lock it in at 3.5 because I don't think it'll go It's not going to go down to three, even with O'Connell starting. And yeah, like you said, like the spot for the Falcons, they are hopefully at rock bottom as far as public perception goes. They really need this game to even stay in the race. And they are still definitely in the race. You know, they have the tiebreaker over the Bucs. They're only one game back. Bucs play a tough game here on the road against the Chargers. We'll get to it later. Maybe a little spoiler alert there. My second best bet of the day, Buffalo +2.5 at Detroit. Hate to fade my Lions. They've made us a lot of money, especially this year on the podcast. But the Bills are right behind them. This is just a good matchup for the Bills. Good spot, in my opinion. They're getting Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman back. A couple of more weapons here for Josh Allen. The Bills, we've talked about Jared Goff and the Lions, how good they are indoors. Josh Allen and the Bills may be just as good. They just don't get to play indoors as often. The Bills with Allen, 9-2-1 against the spread indoors, covering by 10 points per game, and that's even with the loss last week against the Rams. So they were 9-1-1 in this spot before that game. Josh Allen as an underdog or a favorite of less than three, a spot you usually want to back him. 27-14-2 against the spread, 18-8-2 on the road. So usually just a good spot here for Josh Allen. Like I said on Wednesday, the Bills, obviously, they really need this game. They've already locked up their division, but they still have a good shot at that one seed. Chiefs have a tough schedule to close here. They'll need to lose two, but if they do, the Bills have the tiebreaker. I think they do have they need this game, obviously, but if they get it, they get New England twice and the Jets once in their last three, so they will win out, and it just comes down to whether the Chiefs can pull off three wins in four games against four really tough opponents, three on the road. So I think it's very possible they could end up with that one seed, but regardless, the Detroit Lions can lose this game and win out and still grab the one, so they don't absolutely need it. Beyond that, the matchup plays well. Josh Allen, super strong splits versus man coverage. The Lions run a ton of cover one and man coverage here. It's a good matchup. On the other side, the Lions offense, absolutely elite versus man coverage on defense. They are the best offense in the NFL by far. The margin is actually pretty insane if you go look at the splits, but luckily for us, the Bills, they play a lot of zone and they blitz. That's basically what you want to do against the Lions. Keep everything in front of you. They're going to move the ball. They're going to score points, but you just want to get your opportunities on third and fourth down and hope the variance goes your way in those spots. If the Lions go 4-for-4 on fourth down, 5-for-5, whatever it is, we're probably going to lose this bet, but I'm just hoping that the Bills can get them off the field two or three times in those spots. And I trust Josh Allen versus a man-heavy defense, getting a lot of his weapons back, getting points on the road here indoors to get the job done. Last time the Bills did not score 30 points. Cody, do you know the spot we actually bet against them in that game?
Oh, man. I do not. I cannot think about it off the top of my head.
New York Jets, Week 6, Monday Night Football. They have scored 30 points in every single game since that game. So basically, if you're the Lions, you got to get to 33 right off the bat. That just to cover this spread. That's definitely something they can do, but it's a pretty big ask. With no context other than that going in. And I think the Bills obviously are not capped at 30. They can score more than that if they need to. So like the spot here, I'll take the points with Josh Allen on the road gladly. I would say I wait for a three because I think you could probably get a 2.5 right up till game time. Might get a three with some public action on the Lions on Sunday. So I haven't bet this one yet. That's just wanted to throw that out there. But I'll still like it at 2.5 if that's where it ends up.
Yeah, nope. I like that one. We talked about that one pretty extensively on Thursday as well. I think that you're on the right side. A lot of other bettors or betting podcasts that I listen to are kind of on the Lions side, but I think it's for all the wrong reasons. I think that you kind of have a better read on this than what I'm hearing from a lot of other podcasts out there. So I would be on the Bills as well. Probably going to bet it as well with you. My third one, Bengals at Titans. We're going to take the under 46.5. This is a tough one to read. In this game, it feels like everyone is going to be on the Bengals minus the points, at least from a public perspective. Obviously, a super, super sharp podcast would tell you to take the Titans and just hold your nose. Can't do that. Do not trust the Titans team enough to keep up with this Bengals team if they do get going. But, I think that we may be in store for a little bit of a disappointing kind of sneaky defensive matchup. The Titans defense has been pretty solid for most of the year. Their offense has really been the point that's let them down. And they get almost all of their pressure from the middle of their defensive line, and that's where you want to attack this Bengals offensive line.
guard center guard from the Bengals has not been up to par with the way that their tackles have been playing. So may see some defensive linemen in Burrow's lap quite a bit all day. And I think that that kind of pressure would throw him off of his spot just a little bit. And then on the other side of it, always got to be careful betting an under with Will Levis because you never know what he's capable of. But he has cleaned up some of those horrible turnovers later in the season, has had no fumbles, and has only had two picks in his last four games, none of those being a pick six. So kind of got to, you know, just hope that he kind of keeps this, you know, non-turnover streak that he has going. A little bit nervous about that, but I do think this Titans defense can disrupt the Bengals offense, primarily in their offensive line. You know, if they're able to throw it to Chase like the Cowboys let them do, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But I feel like they're going to be able to get pressure quick enough to maybe disrupt some of those, Burrow-Chase connections that we saw last Monday. So under 46.5, Bengals at Titans. Also a little bit of weather consideration. Wind is, you know, again, we never really know a day out because wind can always change. It does look like there could be some wind. Does look like there could be some rain, and it should be, for it being in Nashville, a little bit of a chillier day in Nashville. So, you know, nothing like the Northeast or the North in general, but not ideal conditions for a passing attack like the Bengals.
Yeah, I think with the weather consideration, I would ride with you here. Taking an under with the Bengals defense takes some stones on its own. They have obviously been maybe the worst defense in football. They have sunk a historically great season from Joe Burrow somehow. That just the fact that they have ruined one of the best seasons of his career is a testament to truly how awful they are. But the Titans definitely play under football for the most part. Played a few over games here and there that I'm looking through their schedule at, but most of those were in domes. So when you're outside here with bad weather, 46.5 is a pretty good total. This is one of those games that you could just see sloppy weather kind of take over here like it did on Thursday. The eastern side of the country is, it looks like there's going to be a decent amount of rain this weekend. So I would suspect that that's definitely going to be there. Whether the wind is there or not, not sure, but the rain obviously makes the passing game harder regardless, with the ball being harder to catch in that. So I think that's not a bad spot. Public, sharp bettors all over this with you. 38% of tickets on the under. Obviously, you'd expect most tickets to be on the over in Bengals games just because of how the year's gone. 38% of tickets, 76% of money. So big sharp lean there. Probably a good spot to take. I'm going to a couple unders here, but we'll start with Indy Denver under 44. My favorite trend of the week that we're backing here under in games where both teams are coming off a bye. The last decade, this does not happen much. It's only about three times per year, but the under is 22-10-1 the last decade in these games. Lots of rust is basically the overwhelming theme here with both teams coming off of a bye. The Broncos, 21st in yards per game, Colts 23rd. So these aren't offenses that are super scary, explosive. I could see kind of a back and forth game here. But really what I'm playing is the trend. 44 is just a little bit too high for me. The Colts defense, it's not great, but the pass defense has actually been all right. The last time they allowed a 300-yard passer was week 5 versus Trevor Lawrence. I was surprised to see that. They played some pretty good quarterbacks too. Josh Allen in there, Sam Darnold, and the Minnesota Vikings, a couple other decent options. The run D is much weaker, but Denver, we do not run the ball extremely efficiently. So, even with that being the case, I'd say I'd be hard-pressed to see the Denver run offense take over this game and get us to this total. Richardson in the offense last week, or I guess this was 2 weeks ago now against the Patriots, they won the game 25-24. I think that kind of masked how horribly they really played. He only had 4.5 yards per attempt in that game. Offense as a whole, 253 total yards in New England, a much weaker defense than this Broncos unit that's going to be highly motivated, I believe, coming out of a bye. One, this game itself is huge. Indianapolis absolutely needs it. They're chasing the Broncos in the standings, and obviously they need the tiebreaker at the end of the day to probably overtake them anyway. So this game is pretty much everything for both teams. But Denver just got lit up on Monday night in a very viewable spot against a Browns offense that, you know, with Jameis is fun, but should not be putting up 500 total yards on them. So I think they'll be highly motivated to come out here and show that it was a fluke. And this Colts offense probably playing a little not as good as most people would interpret with, a couple wins in the past 2 weeks. But couple fluky wins. They have won two straight games off of two-point conversions, that Jets game and the Patriots game. They won by one both games, and both games they got the two at the end. So, yeah, I think an under 44 is a pretty good spot here for a game that could just end up being kind of an ugly battle with some rusty offenses coming off byes.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Honestly, love the point that you mentioned about the Colts pass defense, because I feel like that's been a spot that, you know, a lot of either fantasy podcasts or other podcasts will tell you that they haven't been that good. Seems like they've kind of cleaned that up from earlier in the season, and I was not aware of that. So that's good to know coming down this home stretch. They may be in some competitive games, obviously, with a chance at the playoffs still. So good to know that their pass defense is kind of cleaned it up quite a bit compared.
It's not great. It's just not terrible. I think that's the point here. Is I don't expect Denver's offense to put up 30. You know, we can swallow 24 points from Bo Nix and probably still get to this under comfortably.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I believe we're both going to have the same one here. Another under play. So I'll kind of mention a little bit and then let you go into it as well. Steelers at Eagles, under 43. You know, Nick pointed this one out on the Thursday pod, and I kind of knew it was going to be in my five since then. Love this underplay. Both teams are very physical. Both teams have, you know, relatively limited passing attacks. Obviously, with the Eagles, you know, they potentially could get it going with their offensive weapons, but they just haven't. And I don't think that this is necessarily the week that they're going to get it, you know, get an explosive passing game from Jalen Hurts. I expect the clock to stay moving in this game. Both teams are going to want to run the ball quite a bit, and I think that we might cruise to an easy under and you know, a very physical matchup here.
Yeah, I don't think the argument on the Pittsburgh offense, Philly defense side of the ball needs to be made too much. You know, it's a fantastic defense. They're at home, and the Steelers are missing their best weapon in George Pickens. Wilson also has the lowest turnover-worthy throw rate in the NFL this year, so we should see a decent amount of punts from this Pittsburgh offense. You know, not going to be able to move the ball effectively, I believe, consistently at least. And, you know, Wilson's not going to turn it over. So I think they're going to let this defense kind of, you know, try to win this game low and ugly. Hurts on the other side, that's the kind of the part of the argument I think needs to be made. The Steelers have had a lot of success versus mobile QBs. They obviously see Lamar twice a year. That probably helps in that regard, but they had a successful game versus Jaden Daniels as well. I think Washington ended up with 27 points in that one, but their offense as a whole was under 300 yards. Jaden was about 50% completion percentage. He didn't have a great game. They ended up just converting some short fields in that game, so the point total is a little inflated. Jalen Hurts himself, under pressure, has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league this year. 5.1 yards per attempt, 46% completion rate, 47 PFF grade. That's 34th in the NFL among quarterbacks. He, as well, only has 5 interceptions on the year, so he's kind of cleaned that up. So I don't expect a ton of turnovers from either one of these quarterbacks, but I do expect them to struggle. So with both of those aspects in play, I think an under 43 makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only podcast bet of the week. I feel like we've had either, you know, at least two.
Yeah, it's been two.
Couple of weeks. So,
you're right about that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. My last bet of the week here. We're going back to Monday night. So, a potentially Monday night doubleheader for your boy, which
makes me
a little bit nervous. But Bears plus 7 at the Vikings. This is really the one time whenever I look at the, you know, I look at the week this week, this is the only one that I was like, that's a spot that I just have to play. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were based on numbers or based on kind of what I was feeling. This one, buy low, sell high. Bears get absolutely just boat raced against the 49ers last week. Vikings were actually in a close, pretty physical game with the Falcons for a little while, and then the fourth quarter they just completely blew them out. So they didn't necessarily run away with that game like the final score would make it look. It was a lot of turnovers and good conversions by the Vikings later in the game. Really, no public bettor is taking this Bears team after last week. I feel like that's a perfect spot to swoop in on them and take them getting a full touchdown. I can't say that I expect them to pull out a win here. The Vikings do need this game a lot more than they do. Obviously, their hopes for the AFC North or NFC North are still available, and then I guess technically the one seed is still in there as well. So they do have a little bit more to play for. But really, I feel like this Bears team, whatever your game plan was last week, the great thing about last week is you could just take that entire game plan and throw it in the shredder. It was absolutely terrible. So, you know, shouldn't be looking too much like they were last week. And the Bears defense also just got shredded early in this game. I do expect them to bounce back. It's a divisional game. They play these teams quite a bit. And I think that they're going to have a better game plan than they did against the 49ers. So it's a little bit stinky, but I, like I said, this is just one of those spots, really the only spot on the slate that I truly love to play. So buying high or buying low on the Bears, selling high on this Vikings team. We're going to take the 7 points, and it's in primetime. Primetime games typically always find their way to play a little bit closer than you know, most public bettors are expecting. And I would say wait on this one. You may be able to get the 7 in the hook by Monday. Public bettors maybe losing out on some of their favorites on Sunday, maybe looking to, you know, try and recoup some of their losses on Monday, taking this Vikings team in this spot, and might push that number up just a little bit. So I don't think you need to lock this one in right now, but I'm pretty comfortable taking the 7.
Yeah, like you said, stinky is the way I would categorize it. This is tough to play, but you're right. This is a spot that pro bettors would probably be all over come Monday. We talked about how this game was at 3.5 just 2 or 3 weeks ago in Chicago. So you're getting a full 3.5 point swing, which I think is just too many points for two teams that probably profile pretty similarly to what they did a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, it's a spot play. Like you said, there's not much football argument to be made for it. The Vikings are a better team, but these games just tend to end up closer than what we expect. The Bears, for what it's worth, have covered in all of their divisional matchups so far this year. They've played 3 games against the NFC North, 1 against each team. They've covered in all 3 spots, even one on the road in Detroit. So it hasn't been like, you know, it's all in Chicago or something like that. They've just played the NFC North pretty well. They've lost all the games, but they've covered each time. So it's a tough spot to play. It's definitely one you got to hold your nose, but it's probably the right place to be there. And I will say, the action's coming in on the Vikings for sure. That's to be expected, but looks like it's actually the numbers going towards the Bears. Looks like there's a -7 at plus or -102 for the Vikings. So it actually is heading the other direction, which is also good news for you, but may speak to just grabbing the 7 now, because I could see it getting down to 6.5 if the books are truly taking a position here on the Bears, keeping it close. Chargers -3 is going to be my last best bet. I alluded to that earlier in the podcast. I think the Bucs are a pretty overrated team right now after digging into the numbers. I've got a few stats here for you to lay that out. Baker Mayfield so far this year, 16 big-time throws, 20 turnover-worthy plays. He has 28 touchdowns and 13 picks. That's a little bit on the lucky side for reference point. Justin Herbert has 26 big-time throws to 11 turnover-worthy plays. He's at 17 touchdowns and 1 pick. So some turnovers should be coming for Baker that haven't been there so far this year. The Bucs also, they've fumbled the ball 21 times, only lost 5 of them. The field goal percentage against them, only 60% so far this year. So they have been truly fortunate in both the turnover department and, you know, just kind of some random bounces here and there, it seems like. Matchup is also pretty good here. Herbert, fantastic versus zone, which makes sense. He does not have a ton of guys that can beat man coverage. The Bucs run a ton of zone, over 80% of their coverage in zone. That should be good for Justin Herbert here. Looks like Ladd McConkey's going to be back. That's really good. Jim Harbaugh, really, really impressive stats here as a favorite. He's 64% against the spread as a favorite, just blanket right off the bat. That is a really good number with a pretty big sample size. He's 8-1 this year, ATS as a favorite. This one, probably my favorite trend stat of the week. Jim Harbaugh as a favorite under 6, 25-6 against the spread so far in his career. That is 82% cover rate in 31 games, a pretty large sample size. So looks like when these close games are projected by the book, the coaching matters. Jim Harbaugh takes care of business. I believe we have an overinflated Bucs team, a public dog as well. Looks like they're drawing about 70% of the tickets so far this week. And a spot where you just want to back Harbaugh. He is really good as a short favorite this year, especially, and really in his entire career. He has covered in these spots very, very consistently. I will say, I think you could probably wait for, I haven't bet this one either. There's another one I'm waiting for, 2.5, because the Bucs, what I will say for the Bucs is they battled. They have played close games against good teams. They've lost basically all of them against teams that are better than them. So that's why, you know, part of the reason I'm backing the Chargers here. But I think you can get, see, this -3 is at +100 right now. So it's already closer to flipping at 2.5. I'd probably just pay the juice, you know, if it's 125 or whatever it is, I would just pay the juice, but grab the 2.5. But since the 3 is the only thing I can get right now, I will, I'll take it. Similar to that Bills game. I'll still take the 3 if that's all that's there on Sunday, but I'll wait for the 2.5 until game time.
All righty. I love it. I'm glad that game got in there. That was another game that I was considering as well. So I'm on the same side as you. And yeah, you can either wait for the 2.5 or just pay for it and take like the -125. I think that's the right play to do. So yeah, absolutely. Love that. I'll run through my 5 real quick and then Nick can do the same. I have Commanders -7.5 at the Saints. Also, not going to lie, I really just hope the Commanders boat race the Saints team. I got Jaden Daniels in a very important fantasy matchup, so I need to see my
kind
boy.
Kind of willing that into existence. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So I need this Commanders team to go crazy. I have them stacked with Terry McLaurin, too, so let's just run that score up. Bengals at Titans -46.5. A little bit of weather considerations as well. I think this Titans defensive line matches up well against this Bengals O-line. Steelers at Eagles -43. We hit on that one quite a bit. Just a great spot for both these teams, both these offenses. Not necessarily struggling, but don't have elite passing games where you know their running game is going to keep this clock moving. Bears +7.5 at the Vikings. Hold your nose. I know it's gross, but one of those spots I just love to play. Got to take it. And then tomorrow at 10:30 sharp, I will post in the Facebook group and on my Twitter. It's either going to be Falcons -3.5 at the Raiders or the under in the KC and Cleveland game. I will let you guys know as soon as I make a final decision on those.
My 5 best bets of the week, Cleveland +4.5, hoping the wind holds off there in Cleveland so Jameis can do his thing. Buffalo +2.5 at Detroit. I think if you want to back Cody's Washington play, but you don't want to lay the number, I would tease these two teams, Buffalo sure. +8.5, Washington down to -1.5. Josh Allen's only lost one game by more than 8 in the last, I think since 2020, like the last 4 years, it was earlier this year against Baltimore. So he, you know, if he loses, he's probably going to keep it close. Indy, Denver -44. I love that spot play. Both teams coming off a bye. Pittsburgh, Philly -43 podcast bet. And then Chargers -3 at home against the overrated Bucks is my last best bet of the week. If you want, I'm going to try to put together one receiving yards ladder each week. This week, I don't have the stats in front of me. Post it in the Facebook group, though, if you want to take a look. It's going to be TJ Hockenson. Against the Bears, they really, really struggle against tight ends, specifically Hockenson. A couple weeks ago himself had over 100 yards against them, but he's struggled the past couple weeks, so you're getting a lower line than you should. I believe it's at 42.5 right now, so we're going to take that over in a couple escalators as well. But like I said, I'll post that in the Facebook group once I have it finalized.
Awesome. Did you take the under in the Army-Navy game today?
Of course, 39.5 is way too high. It's the free space on the better square, as it were. So we say thank you and happy Service Academy Under Day.
Yep, absolutely. If you're Navy, maybe just play 2 QB spies on this Army quarterback. If you bet him to rush for 125 plus yards, that line is a -114 right now. This Army quarterback's just going to be running for his life all day long.
On like 35 like, so. Attempts, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I was like, man, I got to look at this guy's stats. And yeah, it's like 30 attempts every week for 130 yards. It's like, all right.
Yeah, just exactly.
One or two maybe spies, and let's just stop that from happening. And this under is going to cash very easily. So, but yeah, that'll wrap it up. We will be back next week to do a review and preview week 16. Unfortunately, already week 16. But Nick, do you have any important fantasy matchups this week?
Just one, and I unfortunately had Cooper Kupp, Juwan Jennings, and Kyren Williams going on Thursday night in that single fantasy matchup. So unless Josh Allen and the Baltimore D go nuclear on Sunday, I probably won't have a ton to root for there. But I do have two leagues I have buys in, so next week's going to be a big one, even if I can't come back in that league after a disappointing Thursday night. Jesus, what a horrible game that was, Cody. Good Lord. Tough watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I obviously know Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are probably going to be the do or die for my biggest fantasy league.
You're not in a bad spot there against New Orleans, so I think you should feel pretty good about that.
Happen, but all right, I'm going to get this thing posted. We will be back next week. Peace out, everybody.
See ya.